Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, and subscribe so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting, inspiring content. My guest today, can't say is or are, producers and singers, songwriters, producers, and real life brothers, hit makers, Eric and Anson Dawkins, a.k.a. Dawkins and Dawkins. And I was informed recently, D&D, but they're going to tell me about that. Their new single is Come By. Here from the album or the series volume set Never Gets Old, Faith and Fear. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It has been years since we have spoken.
It's great to be here. Great to talk to you. This is a great opportunity, and you're a great friend. So we're glad to be back.
Oh, I'm just so happy to have you guys. Well, the folks wouldn't know it, but it's been like since the '90s since we connected, and we did stuff with Urban Network. I did syndicated radio, Inside Gospel, a bunch of other things. So we all three of us have been around and earned our stripes in this business and ministry called gospel.
We have definitely done that. Stripes.
Got them stripes, y'all.
got some bumps and bruises.
Hey, man. All right now. Don't get us started on this. No, that's another sermon for us. Testimony.
We've been through, but we're here.
Yes, we are here. Let's go back a little bit. Where did you grow up?
We were born in Davenport, Iowa, and we spent a few years there until we were about four or five, somewhere in there, and then we moved to Tennessee, where we spent our formative years, from 5 or 6 to 10, 11, right in that age. I'm getting it wrong. So until about 15, 16, 17, right in that age range. Then we moved to Ohio. So between those areas, we grew up in those areas, and Ohio is where we actually, got our professional start in music. But all along the way, even from Iowa, we had started already singing. My mom, so that was a big part of our lives.
Okay, so mom started with you when you were really young, didn't she?
Yes.
We were three, and I remember being like 3 or 4 years old.
Really?
Yes, we were. I mean, my mom plays piano, organ, and for the longest, I remember us just being even around the house, just singing and practicing. Harmonizing with my mom.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So three part harmony. So she, whatever she did, she got it to us. She gave it to us early. We've been singing since we can remember.
Wow, and you all grew up singing in the church. Mom trained you. And weren't you all like pastor's kids?
Oh, yeah. We are PKs. And that's part of what we used to do, like when my dad would go places to preach. We call ourselves his opening act. We would sing before he got up to preach. So that's really where we kind of cut our teeth in, being up in front of people singing. Been doing that since we were young.
So that must have been fun, huh? You always like paving the way, getting the crowd ready, the sanctuary ready, as dad prepared to preach.
Yeah, it was fun. I can never remember it being a chore, because we thought it was never like, oh, mom, we gotta.
So you always had a love for it.
Yeah. Up until my voice changed, and then it was just like,
that God has given us.
Okay. Yeah. So what was it like growing up in your household? You said mom really trained you, brought you up singing and started you out in the arts. But did you do anything else, or did you also sing any other kind of music?
We didn't, not formally, definitely not. That wasn't a part of what we were raised to do. We were church kids, Q babies almost. We weren't allowed to listen to a lot of other stuff. So we had to get to the got a little bit older, and we got a little peek at some other things. I mean, we would hear stuff on the radio and stuff like that, and some of the more popular music. But then our in Kansas City, we went, I think we were visiting grandma grandmother, like, for Christmas, some holiday or something, summer, I don't know what we would, but she introduced us to Wind and Fire and, you know, Parliament and the Commodores and, you know, so it was just like everything just kind of flipped, you know. We love, yeah, so it was really cool to be able to get that aspect, but then we just started kind of, you know, our voices began, you know, our voices and our feels started to change along the way, you know, where we started bringing in the gospel flavor and the R&B flavor, all that kind of stuff started coming together to make us, to give us the sound that we have now. But, you know, it wasn't, we sang church songs around the house, you know, we sang, it was, you know, James Cleveland, it was the Hawkins, it was Rance Island, it was even back far enough, you know, with the Violinaires, it was, you know, the Williams Brothers. And, I mean, we grew up on church music, so it was real.
Because I remember back in the day, your music, weren't you calling it, was it rhythm and praise?
That was, I think that was a phrase that Anson actually coined back then, and I wish we were as savvy about that kind of stuff then as we are now, because we would have absolutely patented the name and done whatever, because we've heard a lot of people use it over the years. But literally back in the early 90s is when Anson, you know, came up with that phrase.
Speaking of the 90s and when you all got your professional start, what do you think of gospel music today in comparison to the music that you all put out and that we were part of in the 90s in the industry thing? What has changed and what's kind of remained the same?
Well, I think as far as anything, with time there has to be some type of evolution and adjustment to the time. So music has evolved. I mean, we were doing, you know, kind of ahead of the game kind of stuff back then that I think the industry, gospel industry, finally caught up to and made it more acceptable now. But I feel like music today is just, it's really giving people what they need. Like, there's something for everybody. You can't look at gospel music as your grandmother's or your grandfather's music anymore, because the method and the packaging of it is comparable to any other thing that you would hear on the radio, which I think is necessary. You know, there's some people that'll say, "Man, that's a little too far, that's a little too close to the world." But, you know, even Jesus went out and, you know, he had dinner, he ate with the tax collectors, the hookers, the pimps, and all this kind of stuff. So you, in order to be effective or be relatable to the world, you have to be in the world. You know, you have to do things that's going to get their attention, and I think the ones that are called or commissioned to do that, I bid them Godspeed. I pray for them every day. Like, it's like, God, give them the platform that they need to further your kingdom. Because everybody's not going to come in church wearing long sleeve shirts, turtlenecks, and skirts down to their ankles. That's not realistic. That's not practical. So we got to be able to reach people where they are, and then once they're in, and you feed them the word, and then they can choose the, you know, the path that they want to go from there.
Because you all came in right on the cusp of things when it was a shift going on at that time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because we basically followed in the footsteps of Commission and the Winans, because it was, and also BB and CC, you know, we can't fail to mention them, because they kind of went, you know, and made the biggest splash. But we came through and, you know, it was a little more, we were a little more gritty, you know, you know, pushed the envelope a little bit more and did some different things. I feel like this, we are, you know, we are the church. We are the church. We don't just go to church, but we are the church. And it would be silly for us to, my pastor uses this analogy, that you wouldn't want to go to a football game and watch a team get in a huddle and then go sit down. That's, the church is the huddle.
Okay.
You know, you go to church and you huddle up, and then you go out. You go out and you actually get in the game. But a lot of times what we tend to do is, as the church, is we get in the huddle and we stay in the huddle. That's all we do. We huddle and then we sit down.
And we don't let anybody else in. Yeah, we don't spread it out, get anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I get you.
So, yeah, so that was basically what I think, feel like we had the grace to do, was to get some others to get out of the huddle and go out and bring music that's going to be able to reach out, as opposed to the more so reaching in. So that's what I think is a big part of it.
And then one thing I'll say is that we've done it all these years unapologetically. Like, we don't, when people question our style or our method, we don't get upset. We just simply say that everything is not for everybody. There's something that God has given us that's necessary to somebody. It's going to affect somebody. And when we have people like this, the other night I was at a concert, a gentleman that was sitting next to me, he recognized me even with my mask on.
Wow.
And said, "I just want to let you know that you are the reason that I am saved today."
Oh, like, well, amen.
Those types of testimonies are the ones that matter. It's not about awards or charting on Billboard or anything like that. It's about the people who are affected by what we do. And for me, that's why I say we're unapologetic about the way we do what we do. Because ultimately, if you have a problem with us, that's something that you got to take up with God. Because we're being obedient. That's the way we level. That's the way we measure our level of success, by our obedience to God.
Obedience and ministry, and then spreading the gospel, like you said, coming out of the huddle and spreading the gospel throughout the world. That's what we're commanded to do.
Yeah.
Is this been 10 years since your last release? Between releases?
Exactly. Yeah, 10 years exactly. Came out in 2011.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it's been that long. So so what took y'all so long to give us some more Dawkins and Dawkins?
Well, we were busy. You know, we okay. were busy doing life, busy, you know, working. And Eric does a lot of writing and production for other artists. You know, every once in a while I'm able to get in on some of that and do that as well. And I've been a worship pastor at a church. And I've been doing that as well. So, I mean, we've been doing life and family and growing and learning still put, you know, writing for ourselves, you know, figuring out, okay, well, this is for us. But at the right time, with the right situation, the door opened and we were able to do, could be in a situation that was, that we feel was the best situation for us. And we jumped at it, and it just happens to be that it was 10 years, you know, it happened to be 10 years. So, yeah.
So what's so different about this particular situation and with this project?
I think just being able to take the time that we took off and experience some more of life, it creates a nice canvas for us to paint on. Like Auntie said, we both have families that we've been, you know, doing life with. I have a daughter that's going to be 28 next week. I have a 7-year-old son that's going to be 8 in December.
Okay.
I'm married going on 9 years in October. And it's just life happens, and we pull from the things that we've experienced to write the songs that we write. So I think it was just necessary for us. Timing is everything for us. Like, we're not the traditional style of artist that puts out a record every year and a half and feels like we got to be on the road touring and all that kind of stuff. Now we're gonna sit and listen, and when the time is right, we're gonna do what God tells us to do. But I think it was necessary for us to just
have that in between.
And
also, I mean, we've Legacy Music Group, kind of a family situation where we had another situation that we were looking at, but Legacy Music Group, Jovan Dawkins came along, and Eric is, you know, is the president of A&R. So it kind of became a situation where we were able to be in a place where we can kind of have a lot of creative control, have a lot of say so, and where the record company is totally in agreement with, we come together, and, you know, we don't have to worry about a lot of back, you know, a lot of stuff that's going to be non Dawkins and Dawkins.
Oh, okay.
or a bunch of other stuff. But you've got family. It's a family thing. So that's a blessing for us as well.
Let's talk about this new project that you have out. So many folks are putting out there, you know, they put out like singles and then they end up doing an EP. Not so many people put out large volumes of work like this one that you have out. So did that take a long time gathering up all those songs, or it's just and writing new ones?
Let me tell you something, man.
Mm-hmm.
We stay creative. There isn't a time or season that we're not creating, whether it's for someone else or it's for us. So over the last 10 years, and of course it didn't take us 10 years to do this album, because the majority of the stuff actually came over the past year, I would say.
Oh, wow, okay.
So we got into a super creative mode when the pandemic hit, and, you know, a lot of stuff that we created ended up being stuff that we wanted to put on the project. We already had the project pretty much done, and then we started doing more stuff. And before we knew it, we looked up and we had over 30 songs.
Mm.
So we decided to do some volumes and, you know, be able to... It's a blessing to be able to have that much material that is actually good enough to put out, you know, because I know some people that record, they'll record like 50, 60 songs and pick the best 11 or 12 out of those, and the rest of them, you know, you probably won't hear. We're super intentional about about everything that we write and that we produce, to the point where if we get to a point where we recorded it in the studio,
uh-huh.
9 times out of 10, it's going to end up on our project.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
You got the single,
yeah,
Come By Here. So what's the story behind that? And then tell me about a couple of more tracks you have on there that are really special to both of you.
Well, Come By Here is a, you know, that's an old familiar spiritual that is from years. Kumbaya. Mm-hmm. It basically is a song that speaks to the human condition. You know, how challenging it is sometimes to kind of keep our head up and stand up. And then, you know, you're praying and you're asking God, why? And then you know, you may get an answer or you may not get the answer that you want. And then you're just kind of looking at God like, what the deal? Why am I in this situation?
Yeah.
You know, why ain't you coming through for me like I want? And then it's just a plea, you know, for us, you know, I feel like God gives us an opportunity in every situation to stand up and be and do what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he steps in. As we call on him and as we reach out to him, he steps in and does what only he can do. So that's what this song kind of leans towards. You know, it's our cry out to God. Hey, come by here. I'm doing all I can, and now I need you to do only what you can do. That's the vibe with Come By Here, even though it's an old spiritual. We put our own twist on it, and we feel like it's a song that a lot of people will be able to relate to, and it will be an encouragement to them.
Do you have a video coming? I mean,
we're working on
yeah,
that soon.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's coming. That's coming.
Okay, give me a couple other songs that are on there that you all just feel special about.
There's a song on Volume 1, Love and Light, called Make Me Believe, that we really think is a fun song. Of course, the very first single that we put out was called In My Feelings. It's kind of like the crossover type sound to it. And another song on the first volume called Faithful that's really nice. And like we were saying, like our approach to music, it can have kind of a mainstream R&B sound. Like, so we have one that's called That Love that's getting a lot of attention from people that aren't necessarily churched. So it's just getting people aware of, like, you know, who we are and, you know, what we do. So I could name every song on the album, actually.
All right.
We love everything. That's the other thing. When we do stuff, we have to love it in order for it to go on the project. And we literally love everything that we put on this, on these two volumes.
We are definitely going to be looking forward to that. It all sounds special, like I said. Well, my favorite was still, like, Need to Know, but I'm going to listen to the new one. I still love that. Look, guys, I still love that line at the end talking about it's like a whole lot of love and a little bit of sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
See, I remember.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. That was a memorable line.
Okay, so where can we find your music and where can our people find Dawkins and Dawkins or D&D online or on social media?
So all of our music is streaming on all platforms, whether it's Apple Music, whether it be Tidal or Spotify. It's on all those platforms, Amazon, Google Play. And you can reach us as well on Instagram at ADawk and at EDawkins and at Real Dawkins and Dawkins. Then we have Facebook where it's just our names, Anson Dawkins, Eric Dawkins, and there's a Dawkins Dawkins page. And then on Twitter, there's at E. Dawkins and at A. Dawk, and as well at D&D Music. So, you know, those are the areas. And we have an email as well, DawkinsandDawkins@gmail.com. So those are the areas you can reach us at. Or you could just send up smoke signals if you need to.
Send up some smoke. That's real cute. Well, guys, thank you so, so much for talking to me today. It's been a wonderful thing catching up with you guys in all these years. And I'm just so excited over your new music. And it's still got your Rhythm and Praise and updated stuff going on with your sounds. And I want to check out that song, In My Feelings, because I get told that sometimes you in your feelings.
Yes, yeah, the video too on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I will make sure that I check out In Your Feelings. So, folks, make sure that you get Dawkins and Dawkins' new music. You can find it on all digital streaming platforms out there, and reach out to them on social media. And, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and fellowship. And I wish you all the best in the name of Jesus as you go and continue to kingdom build with your music.
Awesome. Thank you, Lynn.
And thank you, audience, for joining us today. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button right now so that you never miss an episode of this uplifting podcast. Now, to reach me, you want to connect, you can find me on Twitter. That's at LINWOODS, Lynn Woods, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And my friends Dawkins and Dawkins are going to take us on out of here today with just a little bit of Come By Here on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. God bless. You've answered my call before. This time I know.